Let's begin in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 14, and we'll read a little bit into Hebrews chapter 5 when the Gospels were written, or when this book was written. There were no chapters. It was all just one long letter. The chapters came later, so sometimes thoughts that end in one chapter, they begin in the next, and so we will just read into chapter number 5. But Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Chapter number 5, it says this. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. And we'll stop right there. Sometimes we forget that Jesus, while he was here on earth, was just a human, just like you and just like me. He was human. And sometimes I think that we forget that this is true and how true it really was. Sometimes I believe that we have this mindset that Jesus was kind of like Superman, where he walked around a mild-mannered man, you know, in the clothing of a man. But then when something had to happen, he would, you know, slip into that proverbial telephone booth and come out, you know, the Son of Man, here he comes, and now the miracles will be done. Well, he wasn't this Superman character, you know, God hiding within all of his deity in man's clothing. He was a man just like us. He was human just like us. And he laid down his heavenly robes. He laid down his deity. Even in, I believe it's Philippians that says, he thought equality with God was not something to be grasped, but humbled himself and came as a man. He did what he did as a man. He was tempted in all ways, even as this verse says. He was tempted in all ways as we are. Later in James, the Bible says that God can be tempted by no evil, because God can be tempted by no evil. But Jesus was tempted in all ways, and yet without sin. Right? He went and he spent 40 days in the wilderness being tempted of the devil. And he overcame. Jesus came into this world. Jesus came into this world to show us how a man could live a life, an overcoming life. It's a beautiful thing that Jesus did. He came into this world where the thought of many of the people of the day was, this is very uncommon, because the Jews, they had this belief that God could not be touched by sin. And indeed, that's biblical. God is not tempted by sin. So when Jesus came, he was a man who had to fight those things off. And there were many other beliefs, but none of them of that day believed that God would come as a man, a human. The humanity of Jesus is so throughout the Bible, and that's the message that God put on my heart today, is that the humanity of Jesus is something that we need to realize who he was. Because when we realize who he was tempted in all ways, then we can boldly come to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. We can come boldly because we know he experienced the things like we experienced, the same feelings, the same emotions, and yet he overcame them. And now we can go to him as one who knows what we're talking about, knows what we're feeling, knows what we're experiencing, and we'll talk more about that. But Jesus came, and there are several places in the Bible you might remember where Jesus was in a boat and his disciples were with him, and all of a sudden a storm rose up on the sea where they were, and it says waves were crashing in the boat, but Jesus was asleep in the bottom of the boat. He was in the bottom of the boat sleeping, and it says the waves were covering the boat. He must have been exhausted. How can anyone sleep through a storm like that? Water crashing over the boat. The sea must have been rocking because the disciples, who were some of them fishermen, were fearing for their lives. And yet Jesus was in the bottom of the boat. I'm sure you've heard stories of you have some grandmother or mother or some uncle who used to, you know, you've heard the story, well, that, you know, their kids wouldn't wake up, so what they did is they took water and they threw it on them. Right? You've heard this, right? All right, don't call DCFS, it's all right. And so and here we have Jesus having the same experience. Water has to be getting on him, but yet he's not waking up. He must have been so tired. The other thing that kind of runs through your mind when you're trying to wake somebody up, maybe you shake the bed. And here's Jesus being rocked in this boat, and yet he's not waking up. He must have been exhausted because he was human. And you remember when he went to that woman at the well? He met the woman at the well, and it says that he stopped there and he was wearied from his journey. He was weary. Jesus got weary. Isn't that wonderful? He experienced weariness. He came to experience the things that I experience and the things that you experience. He became weary. What a beautiful thought. And after he was tempted of the devil in the wilderness, it says he became hungry. He got hungry. He got tired. He got hungry. He was a man, just like we are. He was very human in his character and in who he was. And this is our high priest. Our high priest was tempted in all ways, like we are, yet without sin. His main mission in coming here was definitely to forgive us of our sins, to overcome the separation between us and God. But in one of the other things he came to do was he came to show us that he understands. He understands what we're going through. He might not understand the things that are specific to our day and age because of technology and the things. He might not have experienced, like Ted, he might not have experienced the stress of having to lift a 14,000-pound object 20 floors. But he understood the stress. He might not have understood all the intricacies of our jobs with computers breaking down and things like that. He might not have understood that while he was on the earth. But he understood and he understands the emotions that go along with it. He understands the stress of having the weight of the world literally on his shoulders. I mean, he was here to change the world. He understood that. He understood. He was tempted, maybe not by all the things that are available to the youth of nowadays, but he understood the emotions of it because the Bible is clear. He was tempted in all ways, like we are, yet without sin. The humanity of Jesus is just a beautiful thing, because there are times when you're going through something that you want to talk to somebody who has the same perspective. Right? Have you ever been there where a person is offering to be an ear, but you know that they really don't get where you're coming from? And sometimes you choose to just say, well, in your mind you might say, well, they probably won't understand, so what's the point of telling them? We have groups, all kinds of groups that form all around problems where people that have like issues can get together because they know the emotions, they know the situation, they know the feelings. They know the thoughts that go through the mind. We have things like Alcoholics Anonymous, gambling addiction groups that form. Even after I had the tumor that I had 4 years ago, there's a group which just meets because they had this specific kind of tumor. Specific. Because who knows if a cancer patient, they go through a whole different set of thoughts and procedures and things like that. And only those who go through it can understand those things. And Jesus says, I'm here to experience what you experienced. I'm here to go through the things that you go through. So that there is no excuse. There is no excuse like he won't understand. He's too high. He's too lifted up. How can he know what I'm going through? How can he experience? How can he really understand what I'm feeling at this point? Well, Jesus says, I understand. He says, I get it. I went through all those things just so I could identify with you. What an amazing thing our God has done for us, that he wants to identify with us. And you say, well, okay, he got tired. Okay, he's a little weary. And he was hungry. That's no big deal. What about bigger things? Well, why don't we turn to Luke chapter 22, and we'll talk about some of the bigger things that Jesus actually went through. Because he did go through bigger things. And if it were just tired and it were just hungry, we would say, well, that's hardly anything. But Luke chapter 22 and verse number 44 tells us a very different story. This is when Jesus was in Gethsemane. It says this, Jesus is praying in Gethsemane, and it says, and he, being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. He prayed and was under so much stress that his sweat became drops of blood. He was under so much stress, so much pressure. He was in agony. Agony meaning mental anguish. He understands that. He understands the difficulty of life. He understands not having all kinds of money in the bank to solve all the worldly problems that come that money can solve. He understands he understands rejection of men. He understands that. He understands being lied about from men. He understands doing good and being rewarded with evil. He understands that. He understands all of the things that we went through and that we go through. He understands. And he is our great high priest, and he wants us to come to him with our issues, regardless of what they are. Jesus is there's a term in literature when in storytelling it's a term called archetype, and I know that doesn't matter too much, but what it is what that means is there's a theme that runs through many stories. And one of the themes Jesus fits so well, the theme that Many times in a story, there's this, especially older stories, there's this wealthy prince, and he comes and he finds this fair maiden that he falls in love with, but he doesn't want her to be attracted to him because of his wealth and his power and all that he could bring to the table. He wants her to love him for who he is, not all the things that he can be, all the things that he is, and all the life that he could provide. He wants her to love him for who he is. And that's kind of the way we see Jesus, that he laid aside all of his deity. He laid aside all the things. He came as a man. He didn't come as some flashy person that people would be attracted to for some other reason for his power. He came just as a normal guy. This is who Jesus is. He could have impressed. One day God will. One day God says, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. It will happen. Every knee will bow. He's going to open the clouds. People are going to see him for who they were. They're going to see, oh my goodness, we lived our life apart from him. And they will bow. Jesus could have come like that the first time, but he wants voluntary lovers. He wants people to love him for who he is. He wants people to be attracted to him for who he is, not just what he can do. And sometimes answers to prayer are delayed just to test us, to see, are you serving God for the things that he could do for you, or are you serving him just because you love him? Are you serving God because he's the magic genie and we rub the bottle and then all of a sudden he answers our prayers? Or are we serving him because he's worthy? Are we serving him because he deserves it? Are we serving him just because we can worship him because he deserves to be worshipped? Or do we serve him because he can answer all of our prayers? And sometimes it's the way it happens with people. When they don't get their prayers answered, they drift away from God. And then when their prayers get answered, they come back to God. And Jesus is looking for love. And love has to have a choice. And love has to be free. And love has to be something that our will decides. There's no love where there's no freedom. We were around the table talking with some people about rulers of the world and some of the ruthless world rulers of the world, and a comment was made that sure, people did anything that this person wants because they were threatened by death if they didn't. Well, sure, there's no love, there's no commitment, there's no wanting to be there. There was fear for your life. And Jesus, he did not come as this imposing figure because he wants us to love him of our free will. Voluntary lovers is what he is looking for. He went so far to identify with us that in Isaiah it says he had no form or no comeliness. Could you imagine that? Jesus must have had some say in the eternity of God and how he would look, and he chose to come with no form, no comeliness. You understand what that means in today's language? He was not a good-looking man. He was not a good-looking man. So there's so much artwork out there where it's like, oh, man, he's kind of attractive. Well, this is wrong. He wasn't attractive at all. It's no form, no comeliness. And maybe that offends you, but that's what the Bible says. He wasn't a good-looking man. So he can identify with people like me. When I look in the mirror, like, okay. Okay, you know. More hair would have been nice, Jesus. But he can identify. He can identify with the kid who's in school saying, you know, why do I have to be like this? And why am I like this? I didn't choose this. He can identify. No form, no comeliness. This is how far Jesus would go. This is how far the extremes that he would go to say, I want to identify with you. I want to understand you. I want to know what you're going through, and I want to feel the things that you feel. And the whole point was, as it states in Hebrews 4:16, it says, we can come boldly to that throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our times of need. We can come knowing that he does understand. We can come knowing that he does know what we're going through. We could come with confidence knowing that he gets it. Because he understands, it says we can come boldly. We don't have to worry about, does he get it? We could come boldly to the throne of grace where we could obtain mercy and where we could obtain grace from his hand to us. In verse number 2 of the 5th chapter, it says that he could have compassion, that a priest can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray. Is he himself subject to weakness? He could have compassion on us. It was important in the mind of God to make Jesus human like us so that he could have compassion on us going through. His love was enough. His love was enough. But he goes to extremes to show you how much he loves you, how much he cares for you, how much, and how far he is willing to go for us. He's willing to go so far as to become an unattractive man. He's going so far as to sweat drops of blood, to experience that kind of stress so that he could go and understand. His body took all the harm that a person, that people of that day would dish out. He understands. And because of that, we could come boldly to the throne of grace. And he has compassion on us. And through it all, his life is an example. His life is an example to us that we can overcome. His life is an example that he can take. Oh, he took all the things that we have to go through and we do, and he yet came out without sin. And he came out as an overcomer. And he came out victorious. And he lived so that we can say the same thing. He was human and he overcame. We are human, and with God's help, we could overcome. We are human and we could run to God because he understands our humanity, because he too went through the same thing. And because of that, we know that if he overcame with him on our side, we could overcome too. And we could have the same testimony as him. As he had compassion on others, we too, as we go through things, we could have compassion on those around us as well. And we could be sons and daughters of our Father who was just like this, having compassion, going through, having compassion on others. At the world, we know there is a difference between us and them because we can respond the way Jesus responded. We don't have to respond the way the world responds. We could respond the way Jesus did. And that the world will take notice of, because it's so uncommon. That the world will take notice of. And God will be glorified. His name be praised.